Welcome back. The program is Force and Feeling. I'm your host, Julie Motz, and my guest today is Dr. Martha Eddy, a somatic movement therapist. We were talking about breathing to support the lymph as well as the blood, which relates to a whole wonderful exercise program that Martha has developed for women recovering from breast cancer and also supporting the other fluids. So I'd like to know what experiences women, who have had breast cancer have had with doing these exercises and what they've reported back to you.
Well, we have some really nice, straightforward responses like my lymphedema has decreased by 2 centimeters, things like that. And then we have more holistic kinds of responses like I'm no longer scared of looking at myself in the mirror when I'm dancing. So it's that really full range. The other kind of response has been, support groups just weren't making it for me. But being in a group of women moving together was incredibly supportive. I didn't want to talk anymore. I wanted to move on. And so they really liked the title, Moving On Aerobics, as well.
Well, when it also fits in with my idea that one of the things that cancer is about is this wild, fierce growth that a person is actually not indulging in other parts of her life.
Mm-hmm.
So the movement of that kind is really very supportive of that kind of growth, of expansion, and it seems to me that it would be taking that energy and putting it into their lives rather than letting it stay hidden in cells.
Well, that is another metaphor for why I love the movement component of somatic education so much, because I feel that one of the baselines of somatic education, again, is the self-empowerment, this ability to tune into our bodies and know what it is that we want. And yet, if we haven't actually practiced different movements, like stepping out with strength or moving in a subtle way or making a choice that's determined but deliberate or that's very robust and quick, then we may not actually have what it takes to change and move, to get what we want, to move in this new way. So the movement practice with other women or in a therapy session or in a dance class can be, especially if it's a dance class that has this somatic model, can be such an important next step in starting to advocate for oneself.
I know that in a lot of the patients that I work with, for whom movement of certain kinds is difficult, they're frozen actually from very, very severe trauma, and just getting them to move even a little bit is very, very difficult, and it's almost as if you have to approach from the edges. And I'm curious as to how you work with that.
Well, it's interesting. I'm involved with several different think tanks around trauma and somatic approaches to trauma right now. So I'm just reshaping what it is that I do. And in that case, for instance, I had one client who was raped several times in a kind of date rape relationship. And this was 7 years later. She had worked with many, many therapists. She had also done some very important work for herself to become an actress and do theater work. So that was very helpful in getting her expressive self alive. But she was now in a new relationship and having a hard time sexually and very much wanted some support on growing into a healthy relationship where she could express herself fully with her whole body. And so in that case, we mostly did table work where she lay on the table and I would touch the part of her body that had been violated, just in this case around her knee and into her inner thigh, and just be with her in a loving way and then ask if it was okay for me to move my hand a centimeter closer, moving upward through her leg. And we just slowly worked with that. So that would seem not very movement-oriented, but it was clearly a movement.
Well, it was a way of waking up the part of the body that had decided
right.
It wasn't safe to move.
It was using touch through movement. But then, and we had about 4 sessions, and she really moved completely through her trauma. It was wonderful. As part of the kind of, this is what I constantly say to my students, whatever you do at a table session, make sure there's at least 5 to 10 minutes of movement integration, even if it's just coming up to sitting, then standing, then walking, which is a developmental progression, going from lying to sitting to standing. So it takes the nervous system through from maybe a deeply regressed place into adult movement, walking, which you need to do to get out in the street and drive your car again.
That's such an intriguing thought that every time we go from lying down to standing up, we're actually going through our whole development.
Yes. Isn't that profound? And I love Angelus Arian's work where she discovered the different four dignities is the term used, I think, in Buddhist meditation, but that each type of meditation has its own power as well, its own learning, if you will, healing to wisdom, to power, to vision. So I take that very seriously. I've done whole classes on just spending time in those four positions of lying, sitting, standing and walking. And the other piece, so in the case of this one young woman, within the session we did some pressing against the wall, for instance, to bring up her lymphatic system, for her to reestablish her power, for her to feel her grounding. So she wasn't ready to just stand. That was too scary, but she could stand against the wall and put her hands against the wall, so there were support of the wall, and I was near her, maybe right behind her, either hands off her body or hands possibly on her shoulders, and just being with her as she felt her legs now activated. First she was able to withstand touch and sense her legs, and now she can stand on her legs but have her arms as additional support, which again mimics where we are when we're about 3 months old, and our legs aren't really that active yet, but we can support our head with the pressure into our arms, of our forearms. And so just, again, using that developmental model, how can I really re-embrace my legs after a trauma? Well, let's use some of this history of first establishing strength through the upper body, then bringing it into the lower body, and then if with time, and if we shift gears to perhaps a child with dyslexia, working with the right side of the body and then the left side of the body, and then eventually to cross-lateral quadrant kind of movement, we can reestablish connection little by little, and we go back to the trauma, work it a little deeper the next time, go a little further into the body or out into space, and then we go back again. And so I like to think of Ariadne's thread. Every time we're going in, we make sure there's a real link back to the present through the therapist, but also for that person, that he or she can always find their way to consciousness in the moment and ask for what they need in that moment.
Yes, I think it's tremendously important that at the end of every session somebody feels safe, that they've kind of reconnected to the present in the safest way they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And it feels as if you have a very keen awareness of that. You know, what you're saying also reminds me of working with Bonnie and being introduce this very exciting idea that if it doesn't happen right when you crawl, it's not going to happen right when you walk.
Hmm.
And seeing her, you know, take people back to those early movements that were the distortions of which were actually hidden in their walking, you know, and the idea of going back and back until you found the place where movement went off, and going back and repatterning that. I just remember finding that such an exciting and such a hopeful idea.
For me, it was very exciting to learn that from Irmgard Bartenev as well. She was 80 when I was, or 78 when I first met her, and 80 when I was co-teaching with her. And she was a physical therapist who had studied directly with Rudolf Laban, who is this master genius that developed Laban notation, which is similar to music notation, but it's the notation for dance. He's created a system for analyzing movement so that we look at any movement in terms of the body in space, with some kind of dynamic expression and some kind of relational component that shows in how we posture and use our body shape, our torso. And Irmgard understood this developmental progression as well. And she was working in the 50s and earlier with people with polio. And so she determined how to work with these early in utero and then early infant patterns in a way that was comfortable for the adult body, and she developed something called Bartenia Fundamentals. So her work is also very instrumental in how I work, especially when I'm working with adults or with people in pain. Most of what she does is similar movement, but rather than the simulation of a baby's movement, we'll do it, for instance, on the back. So it's more comfortable to be on your back, and maybe the crawling movement would be working more off the knees so we don't have to hurt our knees and things like that. So she found adaptations to the movement that could be used in hospital settings or in adult movement settings. And that's been very helpful again, just in thinking about when do we want to regress someone and go deep into that work, or when do we want to have that functional piece, the correlations all intact, but perhaps less rigorous either on the body or maybe even less regressed given the tenuousness of someone's psychological state or whatever else might be going on.
Yeah, very careful moving back and forth between
yeah.
the two. So obviously you're a very keen observer of the people that you work with, and you work with a great deal of care. Do you work mostly with visual cues? Do you feel inside your own body what they're feeling? Do you have to touch them to feel it? How do you know what's happening with people?
Well, in that first stage of my somatic movement therapy training model, the SMTT model I've developed, I use the word observe very widely, and I say this to students. When I say observe, I'm talking about witnessing through your eyes, through listening to tone of voice, through touching and getting tactile feedback, and possibly through picking up on an energetic level, depending on how tuned in the particular practitioner is. So, yes, it's multifaceted. We use every sense we possibly can.
And in terms of your own body and your own movement, if it's not too intimate a question, what has surprised you in terms of working with yourself? What have you discovered? What's been, you know, and what has been really transformational for you in terms of just the work you've done on yourself and with yourself?
My own passion has been working with the visual system. When I was in eighth grade or so, I was told I needed glasses, and I just had something in me say to my parents, well, why do you just put on glasses? Why can't you stretch other parts of the body, and why can't you do something about the eyes? And sweet as they were, they definitely took me off to see various kinds of optometrists, and we found a developmental optometrist who helped people that were what they call legally blind, and he had gotten several people to improve their eyesight, and unfortunately, he said, oh, your eyes aren't bad enough for me to help you. And I've since learned that I would be the perfect person to work with, or that at that stage I could have been easily helped. And I'm in the stage right now with my own daughter, whose vision has gone from being 20/10 to 20/30, to say, ah, you simply need to relax. You need to let what you're seeing come to you. Let's keep your neck line more upright instead of cramming in towards the computer. I mean, so much of this is an antidote to technological graces that have become technological challenges to the human body. And so the vision work I'm very keen on. I teach a class in New York City. My center is the Center for Kinesthetic Education. I live in New York City now, and I have some classes that are open just to anybody and everybody who wants to just get a taste of the work. And my eye relaxation class is about how do we understand how the eyes work, how do we release tension around the eye through also releasing tension through the rest of the body, and how can we activate the eyes in the most subtle kinds of ways so that they're working for us in a recuperative, easygoing kind of way. So I just continue that process as with everything I learn, it comes back to the eyes. I did my Laban certification project on vision. I did my teaching project with Bonnie Cohen at the School for Body Mind Centering on working with the eyes in a multifaceted way. I've worked with Dr. Richard Kavner, the developmental optometrist. I've written quite a bit on vision. So for me, it truly is that the visual system is the window onto the soul, and that the more we learn about, the more I learn about the eyes, the more I learn about releasing and relaxing and allowing what is to simply be. So it's almost a spiritual process for me. As is all of this, actually.
So is that like a cue to you when you feel your vision going? Do you know that you have to sort of go back into the body again and start to work?
Exactly. It really is. When I feel very blurry-eyed because I'm more myopic, I see better near than far because I'm a good hard worker and I've gotten my doctorate and I've done all my research, and I need to let up, let go, get outside, look 20 feet away, because the term, people don't know, the term 20/20 vision means that our eyes are designed to see at rest 20 feet away. That's where we should be looking all the time. And every time we look into a smaller world, be it our room that's maybe 16 or 8 feet, or our computer, which is at 2 feet, or a book that's at one, we're working. We're
actually stressing
the muscular system of the eye.
Martha, I wish we had a whole other hour to talk, because this has been so fascinating. Fascinating to me personally, and I assume it's fascinating to our listeners. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Do you want to quickly give the phone number and the website for your center again out here?
Absolutely. I'd like to actually tell everybody about the center in New York City as well. So the Center for Kinesthetic Education is listed as Wellness, and then our acronym CKE.net. Again, Wellness, CKE.net, Center for Kinesthetic Education in New York City, where we do a lot of work with children in particular, but adults as well. And then in Oakland, California, Moving On Center, www.movingoncenter.org, and that's 510-634-0284.
Thank you so much, Martha.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I look forward to more. Bye.
Bye-bye.